Welcome to another episode of Reading the Bible Responsibly. We're going to keep taking some questions from listeners. Our previous episode was covering Matthew 16. It's the passage where Jesus tells Peter that he's the rock upon which he'll build the church. And we talked about what that might mean and does it have anything to do with the doctrine of the papacy and establishing Peter as the first pope? And if not, what kind of authority Peter might have had? This next question is on a passage that uses some related language, so it'll actually help us to look at those together. It's a question from my friend Stephanie, and she asks about Matthew 18:20. She says, "This is the scripture that says something like, 'Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with you.'" And she says, "Well, what about the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit dwells in us and the Holy Spirit is God, then how are we to make sense of what Jesus says in this passage?" So is this passage telling us something about, say, the validity of small church gatherings? What does it say about the Holy Spirit? What exactly happens when two or three people gather in Jesus' name? To read this responsibly, we have to think context, context, context. Matthew 18 is all about dispute resolution and forgiveness. The verses before the scripture we'll look at today, so verses 10 through 14, are about going after the one wandering sheep. And then the verses after this, so in verse 21 after, is where Jesus answers questions about how many times someone should forgive. So it's about relationship reconciliation. The basic point of all these teachings is do all you can to salvage relationships that are going off the rails. So now we get to our passage at hand. This is Matthew 18, beginning in verse 15. Jesus says, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." So the point is, because relationships are valuable, don't sit on it if someone's sinned against you. Valuing a relationship sometimes demands accountability. And so this passage, there's some escalating steps to take if someone has sinned against you. First, you go alone. And if that doesn't work, you bring one or two more, going off the teaching in Deuteronomy about bringing witnesses. If that doesn't work, bring it to the church. And if that doesn't work, then finally, treat this person as a pagan or tax collector. Now, that's not a way of saying treat them as if they're dead to you. It's saying treat them now as if they're an outsider, right? So it's not about treating them terribly. It's about saying their status has changed. They are now an outsider to be won over again, not part of the gathered Christians anymore. Then there's the thing about what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Actually, the verb is best translated will have been bound in heaven. It's almost like the decision that you make about how to handle this difficulty reflects the decision that's already been made in the heavenly courts. Same thing with loosing. This language of binding and loosing is really about setting boundaries and making decisions. It's the same kind of authority given to Peter in Matthew 16, and now it's applied to the body of believers. Basically, the teaching is God will back the work of this body of believers when they make these kinds of judgments. So now we get to our statements about two or three gathering. This is not a series of isolated teachings like you might expect in Proverbs. Matthew has not changed the subject to worship gathering sizes, only to change it back to relationship reconciliation in verse 21. This is all part of the same teaching, so we've got to read it in context. Jesus has been talking about the snowballing process of bringing more witnesses and decision makers into the process of church discipline. So if two agree on anything, now this is not randomly broadened to mean literally anything in the world, it's anything as far as a decision in the church discipline process. So if two agree on anything in this area, then God is backing it. So where two or three, now remember, this is witness sizes, gather, Jesus is with them. Jesus is saying that he is with those making these tough decisions. The church isn't out there like a Wild West sheriff executing frontier justice removed from any heavenly authority. And the verb will have been bound suggests that the decisions, blessed and backed by God, are reflective of an already rendered heavenly judgment. I want to read you a couple of quotes from New Testament scholars that really help us apply this. The first is from Larry Choinard, who wrote a Matthew commentary in the College Press series. He says, "This text should not be read as a carte blanche assurance that God will provide anything that two or three agree upon. Jesus is simply assuring the Christian community that God's presence and his resources are available to a church that exhibits a united, prayerful concern for the welfare of one of its members. The reason that the Father will do what is asked if two agree is because Jesus is present when two or three come together in his name. The sense may be that, quote, if you gather in my name, I am there, and my presence will lead to the Father's support of your requests." Here's another quote from Tom Long in his Matthew commentary in the Westminster Bible Companion series. He says, "When the church wrestles with the controversial issue or tries to speak the gospel message to someone who has been alienated from God, or provides hospitality to a stranger, or teaches the faith to a child, or cares for those in need, it is not just playing church. It is acting out God's future, the kingdom of heaven, in the present, and thereby participating in the very life of God, the power of God." Matthew 18:20 isn't saying anything like, skip the assembly and hang out with one or two friends, it's just as valid. It is saying that God doesn't abandon those who are making difficult decisions about restoring relationships in the church. Such people can count on the presence of God to be among them as they prayerfully deliberate and make decisions. Thanks for listening. I hope this was helpful to you as we consider this passage that a lot of people know and quote and might enjoy hearing some more about as we try to read and apply it more responsibly. For our next episode, we're actually going to examine the word church. Is it a building? Is it any gathering of God's people? What does it mean to go to or be part of God's church? Thanks for listening. We will see you next time.